Episode 192, When Your Husband Goes on a Business Trip. Welcome to How to Glow, where we get real about building the marriage of your dreams. I'm certified coach Kayla Levin, and I help married Jewish women go from surviving and overwhelmed to thriving and connected through practical tips, real life inspiration, and more than a little self-awareness along the way. Hi, friends. Okay, so I know that this episode is very sort of timely in that if your husband's about to go on a business trip, you should for sure listen to it. And if he ever goes on trips, it doesn't really have to be for business. Make sure you log this. You might want to listen to it now. I think you're going to find some really interesting information that is relevant also when he's not, but we are definitely going to do a deep dive into business trips because they are a thing. They are a specific topic. It's not a joke. So I want to talk about what often happens for women when their husbands travel, especially if they have kids. So you take the average family where she's maybe feeling like a little bit unsupported or a lot of bit unsupported. She's not getting the help that she needs from her husband. And she feels like she's already drowning. And now he's going on a trip. So she spends these like several days leading into the trip, feeling stressed and anxious and nervous because now even whatever help he does give is going to be, you know, even that she's going to lose. And so how is this going to go? And then the trip happens. He goes. And everything goes like really smoothly. Okay. This is the crazy part. She just, everything kind of runs like it just goes, or there's like extra help that she wasn't planning on, you know, asking for, or she does ask for it, or, you know, just bedtime or all these different parts of the day where like, he's kind of in and out. He's not in and out. Right. And dinner can be a little more simple and, you know, daddy doesn't come like make everyone wild right before bed, or she just is fine. She just is fine. And she does really, really well. And then he comes home and she falls apart. She like completely collapses emotionally, physically. She was thinking, hey, if I'm running, doing so well without him, that means like, maybe this isn't me. Maybe this, I could be doing this. I could be doing this every time. I could be doing this even when he's home. I'm so much more functional and capable than I realized. And then he comes home and she feels like even less functional and capable than before he left. Okay. I bet this is resonating with a lot of you. I know this still happens to me every single time. And then, you know, she kind of goes back. It's like right back into that same pattern. I'm not getting the help that I need. I'm so tired. My life is so overwhelming. I wish he would help me more. So what in the world is happening here? If she could function when he wasn't there, why is it so much harder when he's there? And the answer for you is it's both your thinking and it's your body. Okay, so we're going to talk about what's happening hormonally and it has a huge impact, and also what's going on in your brain. All right. When we're responsible for something, when we are kind of the sole, like it's on our shoulders, we are the sole person with responsibility to make a result happen, we get some adrenaline and we are burning testosterone. Testosterone is the get it done energy. All right. As women, we need testosterone. We use testosterone. If you've ever been in a life phase where like, let's say you were a stay-at-home mom for a while, or you just never really needed to actually accomplish a specific thing, we don't do well when we don't have any of that ever. Okay. I feel like that's why mommy blogs started, because there were all these women who wanted to be stay-at-home moms and they were like, I need to produce something. So at least a weekly blog could be my thing that I produce. It balances our hormones when we produce. However, we make about a tenth of the testosterone naturally that men make, which means it's a bigger tax on our system. So when you're in a situation where you are the sole provider, you are the sole person responsible, it's almost like, you know, I think Alistair Armstrong talks a bit about it as you become the king of the castle and all of the achrayus, you know, is on your shoulders. You're burning testosterone. Okay. It's not a bad thing. It's actually what makes you so effective. Bedtime goes from being an experience to being a result. And though the result might include that you do it in a nice way, you notice that while he's away, you're much more focused on time, how things need to go, what's your schedule, what needs to be done, what do the lunches get done at night instead of in the morning at the last minute, right? You're just much more focused on the results. You're burning that testosterone. It helps tremendously when he's away. You absolutely need it. But because we have a limited supply, that post-trip crash is a very real thing. being in a situation where you have to burn and create, right? Because you can't burn testosterone unless you've created the testosterone. It has a tax on the female body. Okay. And so the advice that I love, which I learned from Alison Armstrong, is to rebalance your hormones before he returns so that you can signal to your nervous system that you are no longer required to be king of the castle. Okay. So what does that mean? You do something that shows you that we are relaxing now. So maybe you take yourself out for an extra hour. This is literally the last day. You get a babysitter, or, you know, you do this while the kids are in school before he comes back. You take a bubble bath, you take a nap, you go get yourself your favorite coffee and wander around Target. Like, whatever feels just completely the opposite of a result-oriented behavior. Okay. Experiential, full experience. If you don't usually go to yoga, you take a yoga class, right? What is the thing? And it, you know, it could be anything. It doesn't have to be the perfect thing, but you just do something that's just kind of puttery. Like, you're just kind of puttering around. When you do the behavior, you're showing yourself on a subliminal level, it's not about the results anymore. I don't have to be responsible. Okay. So that's big. That's big. There's another piece too. If you just do that piece, I think you're going to be in great shape. Okay. But there's another piece that I don't want us to forget about, which is you got a lot of awareness while he was gone about the extra load that your expectations and your thoughts are creating. We think that their help makes our life easier. And it does. But it doesn't make our life all the way easier. Meaning, when they're helping, most of what helps is that we are no longer thinking he should be helping more. I can't be doing this. It changes the narrative. The narrative is, I want to say 90% of the exhaustion. You could push back on me on that one. Honestly, even if it was only 10% of the exhaustion, it's still worth getting rid of if you're feeling exhausted and overwhelmed. I think that narrative is tremendously draining. And you've all experienced that, right? If you, again, I'll go back to kids, because I think this episode really is very focused, especially for women with kids. If you've ever been to a parenting class and then that night, bedtime was so different, they weren't different. You were different. Your thoughts about it were different. Bedtime had meaning now. You had a goal. You had a focus. You wanted to do something with bedtime, right? You had an experience you were trying to create. The way that we feel and think about our life on a daily basis is it. That's it. That's where our energy comes from. That's where our mood comes from. That's how we show up in the world comes from. And I know this sounds so simple, but the truth is it is simple. It's not complicated. Sometimes this is one of the things that came up for me when I was preparing this month's topic on boundaries inside of the online coaching community that I run, which was, we have to be so careful not to use any of these tools to make our life any heavier. We don't need help with that. We don't need any help making anything heavier. Okay. So what you noticed was that you had a completely different mental landscape while he was gone, right? If help happened, it was a delightful bonus. If things went crazy wrong, you were like, okay, you know what? They went wrong because it's just me. You weren't beating yourself up. You weren't resentful. You weren't frustrated. You just kind of went from one thing to the next, because honestly, when he's not there, you don't have the luxury of falling apart. So you just stay positive. Okay. So I think that it's so important to think about, where was my head during that time? What were my thoughts? What was different? And knowing that information, what do I want to do about when he is home at bedtime? Okay. One thing that I actually learned from my husband, and I will always tell you, your husband is your absolute best resource for understanding, because men will communicate with you literally. Okay. They're not speaking between the lines. If you ask them a question and you're willing to hear the answer, you will actually know how he operates. It's just having the wisdom to know when to ask, right? Because what we tend to do is we assume that he operates the same way that we do, and then we get frustrated. But if you notice, wait, maybe he's not operating from the same motivations or the same reasons or the same as what I'm assuming, what I'm extrapolating or what I'm projecting on him, then we think to ask the question, wait, why did you do that? And when you ask that question, you get profound answers. So one thing I learned from my husband is that it's very hard for him, and I'm using him as an example, but this is true for a lot of your husbands. It's very hard for him to help me because he knows that my list of things I need doesn't ever end. There is no end. And so if he does all the three things that I'm asking and it's done, there's going to be more. And he has the self-awareness to know that that sense of accomplishment of being done is huge and super motivating, and that he won't get it, right? Without, at least now we've worked it out so that I don't do this anymore. But at that time, he would never get that. There would never be a feeling of, I have given her what she needed. I did it. I helped. Because as soon as he helps with one thing, it's another thing. Okay. And the other thing is that there were other things he actually did need to do. Okay. So if he's offering to be available for me, he also still has the queue. He's put it on hold, but he has this queue of things that he's got lined up that he needs to be getting onto, right? For us, you know, it might be our finances or bills he takes care of. It could be a person he's supposed to be calling back. It could be his work. Like, there's things that he has in his queue. He's put them on hold while he comes and helps me with whatever the thing is I've asked for, and or the thing that's just generally my territory. And he knows that it's just going to keep coming. And so he's never going to get to his queue, which is also super frustrating. Okay. So for me, the lesson from there was to manage my own anxiety around giving him a set amount of things where then he could be done. Now, when I say manage my own anxiety, that's the key. The key wasn't just give him a set amount of things and then be done. The key was, but what if I need more help? What if it's not enough? Okay. So the truth is, honestly, my husband's a mensch. If I was completely drowning and I absolutely needed more, of course he would help. But if that's always the dynamic, it's not healthy. It doesn't work. So I had to say, I'm going to commit to these things. And then that's it. He can go off and do his thing. And when my brain goes to, but I need more help, or he should be helping, or look how hard I'm working, and I'm not noticing all the stuff that he's doing. Because no, he's not working hard at bedtime if he's not doing bedtime, but he is still working hard at something else, right? And so I have to plan to manage my mind around it. Okay, that is actually the tool. The tool isn't the set amount of things. You do need to do that. But the tool is also then prepare yourself for the moment when you don't want to stick to that set amount of things. And how will you handle that? Okay, we do a lot of work on managing that. If you're in the community and you're struggling with that, just let me know, come onto a coaching call and I'll help you through with how to manage those emotions. Or we have like a million old classes on feelings that you can go through. All right, so I don't want to underestimate the value of what you can learn from when he's away. Yes, did you have the boost of the testosterone and the boost of the adrenaline? Absolutely. And is that something that you can realistically expect to have in your life on a regular basis? No, because you don't even want it, right? It's a luxury to be able to kind of fall apart. Not everyone can. And if you can, that's a beautiful thing, actually. It's not a crazy thought. Like, how amazing is it that I'm in a relationship where I can kind of fall apart sometimes? If that's where you are, then you're very, very blessed. But just because you won't keep the, you know, hormonal cocktail that you had, the business trip hormonal cocktail that you get when he's gone, doesn't mean there's nothing to learn. So I do want you to make sure you go back and notice, what was my mental landscape? What was I thinking? What was I feeling? And what is available to me even when he's not away on a trip? How can I remind myself of that? How can I intentionally, I mean, literally take a whiteboard marker and put it on your mirror. What, not the marker, right? The words, right? How can I intentionally focus my brain on those thoughts? Because I know my old pattern is to think the old thoughts. And I know that I have negativity bias because that's what human brains do. I notice the negative more than I notice the positive. So I need to intentionally cultivate positive thinking. I need to intentionally go to the thoughts that energize me, that keep me feeling passionate, keep me excited. And I would also argue, intentionally add into your calendar things that make those thoughts better. So if the parenting class makes parenting more meaningful, then go to the parenting class. If listening to this podcast makes marriage more inspiring, make sure you're listening to the podcast. Prioritize things that give you a healthier mental landscape, because look at the benefit of that. Look at how that trickles down into your energy, your feelings, how you're showing up for the people in your life, and how you feel about yourself when you go to bed that night. Okay. It's exciting work to be doing. I'm excited to be doing it with you all. If this work is speaking to you and you know someone who's in their first 6 months of marriage, would you please help us? We're trying to get to 100 more newlyweds to go through the first year married course. I want to introduce this material to as many women as possible. Honestly, I just want to be the gateway drug to coaching and self-development for as many Jewish women as possible. And that's really what this course is all about. Building self-awareness, building the tools to process emotions, and building healthy relationships. So if you could please suggest to them, let them know, you know, so many more people than I do, or maybe don't know more people, but you know, different people than I do. All they need to do is go to kayla11.com/newlywed. And it will take them through. If you're interested in the course, but you are not in your 6 months of marriage, go there too, kayla11.com/newlywed. And you will get the access there. And if you're not in your first 6 months of marriage, but you're still interested, you can go there too. And I will direct you to where you need to go. So kayla11.com/newlywed, please share it. With your communities, with your groups, wherever you think there might be some newlyweds or people who know newlyweds who would want to help them get into this way of thinking. I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, my life is before coaching and after coaching. I have become a completely different person and such a happier person and such a better person to be around. And so I just want to share it with as many people as possible. Okay. Oh, and the course is totally free for people in their first 6 months. I didn't mention that. That's like a big deal. They get it for free. Okay. Have an amazing, amazing week, my friends. I will see you back here next week. Bye-bye.